Lara always takes a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Always. I'm getting ready tomorrow. I'm going tomorrow to Idaho, and I'm getting ready to have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Peanut butter and
jelly. Do you actually eat it on every flight?
No. Oh. But if I need it, I have it.
Okay.
Even in November?
Even in no nut November.
Which I said is every month for me.
No nuts. And it would never be for me. So you've got two ends of the spectrum here.
All standby passengers, see me at the podium of your seat assignment.
Non-Rev Lounge is a travel and aviation podcast. Monique, Laura, and Tyler are three friends that work for a major airline as gate agent, flight attendant, and ramp worker. During this podcast, they will discuss using their flight benefits to travel the world, as well as talk about things that happen at work. They have guests on almost every week to share their travels and stories, leaving tips on the best places to travel or things to do. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Non-Rev Lounge. I'm Laura.
I'm Monique.
I'm Tyler. Happy Thanksgiving week.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving.
For those of us that are having turkey, like I'm having turkey.
I mean, some people are having tofu or...
Well, or somebody is hosting Thanksgiving and he doesn't want to have turkey. Though it's one day a year.
What was funny is I was listening to us editing it as... Monique was like, you got to have turkey. And then a few minutes later, she goes, I don't really like turkey. And I was like, why do you want it so much then?
I don't actually really want turkey. I want ham.
Good. That's what we're having.
And she said she was going to bring a turkey.
That's the thing is, we have a turkey that our landlords gave us like 2 years ago, and we haven't cooked it because we don't like turkey.
Put it in the pool.
I don't even put it in the pool.
What's your dog will play the right?
I don't think dogs can eat turkey.
Oh, I don't know.
You don't, yeah, we're not dog people. We don't know.
You have a dog.
You have a dog named Toby.
Oh, you have to cut this out. My family would be so mad.
You were thinking the other family.
Growing up family. Yeah. Oh, man. They already think I hate Toby.
I just got a text or a message from our listener. His name is Michael. He doesn't work for the airline, but he says him and his family were flying in on Spirit. And they're flying to Vegas today from Charlotte. And he said they gave the flight attendants candy.
Yeah.
And they just took care of him. Like, everything was comped. So a little bit of candy, even from a revenue passenger, went a long way. And someone else told me some of the reason, too. I can't think of what it was, though. But they said the same thing. Like, a little bit of cheap candy, and you guys will give anything away. Oh.
Okay. I had these three cute guys on my flight to London not that long ago, and they brought a bag of candy, and he kept talking about his sister or his cousin was a flight attendant for Spirit, and she told him to bring it. And so I just really took care of them because they were, but it was cute because he kept talking about how, you know, she worked for Spirit and all this. And it was just cute.
But so apparently that works for paying passengers too, not just for non-refs. But
thanks for the letter. We appreciate the letter.
But I feel like we're like putting good out in the world. Because now he did that. He made those Spirit people's day better and their day better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always forget. I'm always, especially on our own airline.
Good thing your wife doesn't.
Well, she does on other airlines too. Because I'm like, hey, bring that. Because on our, I hope, do you do that too? You bring stuff on our own?
It's easier when we're planning like a trip to remember to do, like a vacation, I guess. Yeah. If we're just doing like a trip.
A quick thing.
I have a harder time remembering to get something. Like when Tanya and I did Cancun, yeah, we went all out. Like we made these little baggies of goodies and stuff for them. But now I'm just thinking, oh, crap. Now I'm going to Chicago. I need to get stuff ready for that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Strawby Mommy in Dallas,
yeah.
Tracy, when she's going to Australia, she made these beautiful bags of candy. She showed them to me. She's like, how many people? And I said, just try one per door. There's usually always one per door, maybe a couple extra. That's my rule of thumb.
And I think I think lean towards that as well. Like maybe like one kind of bigger something for like the gate agents. That way you can just cover like the whole desk. So if you have a supervisor there, if they have extra agents, you can say like, hey, you all can share instead of having to be like, I made something for you and I made something for you and I made something for you.
Yeah.
That's what I think I'm going to lean towards.
Plus, you guys are really good about sharing it in your break room. Because, like, if the front part of the plane, if the business class people get candy, I'll go up there looking for water. And lo and behold, they have a candy stash. It's like, you have not shared that with the aft personnel. Yeah. So, but you guys always share flight attendants, not so much.
And then they say, hey, why don't you go in and relieve the pilots for a minute? That's how they thank you, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. And you go in there and you have to get serenaded.
Yeah. That's like the flight attendants that took all the candy bars. They didn't share those.
No, they didn't. They didn't share it with the people in the bunks, and they sure didn't share it with the people up front.
Well, the one lady had 10 in the bunk by herself, so that would be sure, right?
Yeah. You just find all these wrappers in the bunk.
And they were the giant Snickers, too.
What the?
They weren't, yeah.
Selfish.
I'm embarrassed.
It was you?
No, I wasn't there. No, I heard about it.
Why don't you introduce our guest, and then you can sing her song.
Sing a song?
You know the Valerie song?
Valerie, call on me. Call on me, Valerie.
What do you sing?
Isn't that the Valerie song?
Who sings that? It's your... It's
Jake Isles Band.
Okay.
I just made that up.
It's from our dad's age. I grew up listening to that song.
Hey! Hey! Okay. Valerie's back with us.
Yes. Very excited to have Valerie on for her own show this time.
Hello.
You want to do the Thanksgiving thing first? Or get into the other stuff.
No. Maybe she's thankful for something.
Yeah, we could do. So last year we went around and we said something we were thankful for. So I thought maybe this year we could do something kind of similar, but we could maybe say something about like a work group that we're thankful for.
Do you have anyone that you're thankful?
I genuinely was thinking about the ramp. And I was thinking, I am really grateful that like they will transfer our bags for us and do that work, because when your bags actually show up, it's very exciting, and I'm really thankful for that.
And aren't you thankful too that they work in all kinds of inclement weather?
Yeah, it's true. Sometimes, a lot of times, I think their job's really easy, but at the same time, they do an important job for us, and I'm thankful for that.
I was editing last week's podcast a few weeks ago, as we were talking about the slipper position, and I was in that position when I was editing it. Well, that's why, if anything, I'd be grateful I don't have to deal with customers. So it's like the opposite of what you guys have to deal with, because what I see, the stuff, the crap that you guys as flight attendant and gate agents deal with, yeah, I'm glad they don't deal with that. So
Valerie's not grateful for anyone.
I'm not grateful for any other work.
That's not true.
I feel like probably ramp, especially when they come up and collect the bags so I don't have to throw them down the chute.
Yeah.
I just kind of push them down to the landing. Or when they bring up those heavy scooters or like the passenger's own personal wheelchairs, I don't have to do that either. I'm grateful for that.
A lot of times they're hot too.
The bags are the
rampers. Which ones? Rampers. The bags are the people.
Oh. Rampers are hot. The
temperature is very hot in Phoenix, so they are sweaty.
Yeah. I don't know who you're talking about.
Well, when I was single, we all dated the rampers instead of the pilots.
Well, you were a ramper.
Well, yeah. So we worked with them.
I do think that is kind of fun about the like that America West age. Yeah, you guys all just dated each other.
Yeah, very incestuous.
Sounds like a good time.
Well, and also I was thinking last night as I was kind of thinking about this is through the podcast, we've got to meet a lot of different people who work in different groups that I didn't even know about.
Yeah.
Kind of like Connor doing, like he buys stuff for different parts, right? In all parts of the planes.
And then we have Brandon, who does network planning.
Yeah.
And Beryl.
Beryl, on her job. So grateful for.
So grateful for that one.
And Matt and Millie. They're like the financial side.
And Ian doing crew scheduling and things like that. Like every part like is important. But anyway, I was just saying.
I'd like to talk to Ian.
We've learned about a lot of different kind of pieces.
And you were even nice with when we had pilots on, like Lance.
I know. Oh, he's so nice. I was very quiet during that one. I'm just kidding.
We've nice covered a lot of the different aspects, and hopefully I've learned from people to people. And there's some that we haven't had any maintenance people on yet. I don't know if they're just too stinky.
No, they're not stinky.
Oh, they're not stinky. They say dirty things to you, though.
Oh, well, that was on their time. That's when they DM me.
No, you said the guy in London.
Oh, when you went down in the...
Oh, yeah, he wanted to look up my skirt. When you
were in the aircraft. Did he send you an A and B for that?
That was a freebie.
At least two A and B's. If you came in your gal, you could have said the same thing to him, I guess, to make it even.
Exactly.
Look at your skirts.
We'll have to get a maintenance person on.
Yeah, that's one thing that we haven't had yet. So,
well, we've tried to get Stig on Stig Aviation.
Yeah, there's been a few we've tried.
I try to avoid the maintenance guys for the most part.
They're usually bad duck luck. Or
they don't bring us good news.
Yeah, they're not ever here to be like, hey, your plane's good.
Yeah, no.
And usually they're not the best communicators.
No.
So, yeah.
Maybe they wouldn't make it on the podcast.
I don't know.
They also leave the tray up. When they're done writing in their logbook, they never put the tray down.
That's kind of annoying. So now it's
in my way when I'm trying to pull the jet bridge back.
What is it? You can pinch your finger really easy on it, too. It's you have to like hurry, flip it.
Put it down.
Put your hands up so it's scary.
That's a straight man thing.
It really is annoying.
Put the tray up.
Yeah.
When you're done peeing.
Put the tray down.
Oh, down.
Common courtesy. Oh. All right. So should we get into talking about how you got into your airline career?
Did you know you always wanted to work for an airline?
No. I was a stay-at-home mom for 12 years. I had zero intentions of going to work. But my daughter as a dancer, and she started having to travel more. So at that point, they were.
What do you mean travel? Like
for competitions?
Uh-huh. Oh, different states. Other states.
She's good. Yeah, she's really good.
At that point, like my kids are both in school. I'm really not doing anything at home. Let me, I guess, go find a job. So I just applied to airline jobs, just thinking like it would help out with not having to pay airfare, not really knowing how the whole standby process works. I think it was like the second interview I went on. I went on one for Alaska and she had a Disneyland trip. And so I was like, oh yeah, I can't do training that week, but anything else I'm good. And they were like, oh yeah, no, we can't use you if you can't be here the full time. Okay.
So they gave you the bump?
They gave me the bump.
Thank goodness.
I know.
Because we love you.
Well, thank you. And then I had an interview with US Airways for reservations. Good old Res.
So how long were you in Res? Were you there 3 years?
Almost 3 years.
Okay, that's about. I love that if you talk to other people that ever worked in reservations, we talk about it like it was our prison time.
Oh, it really was.
It was like, how long did you serve there? Like, how long were you in? How long were you in for?
Way too long.
Yeah.
So did the benefits, you start using right away? Because that was one of the things you wanted from the job, was that?
I did, because that summer, and I didn't use it for dance, but I took my kids on day trips in the summer. We did San Diego for the day. We did Seattle for the day. And it's so hard to even do day trips now because our flight schedules are
It's harder.
A hot mess. Yeah. So.
But good thing you did it when you did.
I know.
But it's so nice to have those, especially in Phoenix. And maybe it's the opposite, like in the north when it's cold, but to get out of Phoenix when it's so hot, it's just to go somewhere and just be out of the heat, even if you don't do much, like walk around San Francisco or Santa Barbara or San Diego, it's just like, just get out of the heat for the day and then come back and bake again, but just like be somewhere that's cool.
Yeah, just somewhere different. And my kids had never been to Seattle, so for them, that was a new place.
Can we talk a little bit about your daughter's dancing?
Sure.
Okay, so she started dancing at what age?
Not quite two.
Okay, so she's been dancing. So where are we at now with her level of dancing?
She is 18 now. Mm-hmm. She has competed pretty much her entire life.
Like, does she go to nationals? Mm-hmm. Is there a national? Come on.
We do nationals in New York City. She has
Is it the same time every year?
Yeah, July.
Oh, it's in July every year. Okay.
Over the 4th.
Oh, wow.
Yep. So we've gone 3 times to nationals. It's usually an every other year event. And then COVID kind of messed it up a little bit. Yeah, we spend like 10 days in New York.
I love that, though.
We love the city. Love it.
So you're really familiar with the trains and all that?
No.
The
subway? I don't do.
Mallory's very bougie.
I don't do subways unless somebody else that knows it is with me because it confuses me.
And the costumes, is she more ensemble dancer? Do they do ensemble and like by herself? Or
she did a solo when she was
solo.
Thank six. You. She did a solo when she was 13, and that was the only 2 times she's ever done a solo.
Okay. So
yeah. So it's mostly group dances.
Okay. So then you just, the troupe buys the costumes?
Mm-mm. The parents have to buy their own kids' costumes. So
how much are we talking about?
It depends. I've had a costume be $250 and I've had a costume be $20. It just depends on what the choreographer wants, what the look is. Is there rhinestones on it? Is there a million pieces? When she was younger, they were more expensive. The older she gets, the less complicated the costume, and they aren't really sparkly. So we stopped doing rhinestones, and we just kind of piece them together, like a leotard or pants and a crop top, or very basic, very simple.
Okay, so will you have a suitcase with just costumes in it? Oh, wow. Yes. And how about makeup?
Makeup, I mean, red lipstick, lashes.
So she looks like a flight attendant.
Kind of.
Yeah. Does she have her hair in a bun?
It depends on the number. Uh-huh. Sometimes for competition, like 1 year, they all had to have French twists. The girls hate the French twists. I can do a French twist, and I'm one of the only moms, so I get stuck doing like 15. So I hate the French twist.
Because you don't want to do everybody's hair.
I can't stand doing them. No. So we switched to like, it's just a low ponytail the last couple of years.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
And you've been able to do this because you non-rev.
I have non-revved many times.
Okay,
we have been stuck many times.
So did your whole family go to nationals? Your husband and
no,
you have other children?
I do. I have
other less significant children.
Right. She has an older brother. I just have two kids. Okay. They don't go to competitions. They have met us in New York for nationals. So they've gone. 1 year they went to Boston, and my son had a basketball camp with Kyrie Irving. So they went to Cincinnati, and then they went to Boston, and then they met us in New York for a couple of days. So we generally don't like them to come with us because we don't have a lot of free time. It's a lot of me sitting in a ballroom with her when she was younger, or now that she's older, it's a lot of the moms will go out for cocktails during the day and at night while the girls are in class.
So yeah, is this like dance moms kind of thing? Like all the moms are sitting in one area talking about, you know, all the dancers and stuff, and Abby's out there screaming at them?
Kind of, but not that bad. Like it's not anything as to what was on Dance Moms. We don't talk about other dancers. We probably talk about
other moms.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was a baton mom. My daughter did baton.
Okay.
But it's smaller. It's a much smaller thing than dance, because dance is so amazing. It's, I think when I look at dancers in an ensemble group with a whole bunch, I think it's harder as a dancer to be in an ensemble because everybody has to be synchronized.
It is actually far easier to be in a group than it is to be in like a duo or a trio, because if you mess up in a duo or a trio, there's only two or three of you on stage. And if you're not right in line or all together, it's very noticeable. In a group,
you can blend.
If it's a large group, you can blend a little bit more, especially if you're in the back, but you definitely notice it more in a smaller group.
Baton, we used to stay at the cheesiest hotels too. And this one girl, poor girl, got bed bugs, bites all over her body. No, so then when we did the group photo, the baton lady goes, our coach goes, stand behind everybody because nobody wants to see those bumps all over you. I'm like, it's
poor thing.
Jeez. Do you guys check that suitcase that has all?
Never.
Okay, I just
thought that. So you hand carry the costumes.
That is a carry-on bag only, and you don't let it out of your
sight. That's so exciting. So
when they say, we're out of bin space.
Too bad. This has to go on that plane.
You're starting to put on all the costumes. Yeah. You're wearing them on.
So this is her senior year.
This is her senior year.
And so what is she, where is she going to dance next year?
She opted out of studio dance this year. Most people do their senior year. It just conflicts too
busy.
Much.
Yeah.
She does POM for school. She really enjoys POM. So I think that's the route that she's going to want to go, is maybe trying out for a POM team in college.
That's so cool.
That is cool. But anytime you type POM to us in the group chat,
I know.
It always looks like porn.
I know.
I just say like somebody's going to her POM like camp, and we always read it porn camp.
We're like, what like, kind of camp?
Yeah, everyone's like, isn't she like 17? Like, what's
happening? I know. Sometimes I'll put it all in caps so that it's clear that I am saying POM, not porn.
Is she a good little non-rever? Like she can be in a middle seat, like all in the back all by herself?
No.
Okay.
No. She, up until like probably like a year or two, was like, I have to sit by you. And I'm like, well, ma'am, I don't know. It's usually always worked out for her. When she was younger, some poor person would take pity on her and swap seats with me so I could sit next to her. But now she's fine. She'll sit wherever. If it's a middle, she will not be thrilled. She'll be a little grouchy, but have a seat or don't go on. Those are your options.
Yeah. Sounds like you, Monique.
Actually, I'm good about taking the middle and letting my wife have.
But inside you wouldn't be grouchy?
Yeah, probably grouchy. Yeah.
So do you fly into LaGuardia, Newark? I mean, you don't care where as long as you're getting there?
My preference is JFK or Newark. That's generally where we fly. But this last summer when we were there, the storms this summer back east were terrible. We were supposed to come home on a Monday, and Sunday this giant storm hit the city. And
you're like, dang it.
Killed all of my options on Monday. So we had to stay another night, and I had to buy tickets using my miles to come home from LaGuardia to Omaha to Phoenix.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. I do remember that routing. Yeah. That was crazy.
We sat in the Omaha airport for 4 hours. I don't recommend it to anybody.
Oh.
And Shannon was like, isn't Omaha so nice?
I'm like, no, ma'am, it's not. There's not even anywhere to eat in the Omaha airport. Like, it was awful.
Because she was trying to tell you to go downtown quick, wasn't she?
Yeah. She's like, get in an Uber and go downtown. I'm like, where am I going to leave my stuff? My bags. I'm going to wheel them all over Omaha.
And you got all the costumes and everything else. Yeah.
We're staying right here, ma'am. Thank you.
Okay. So now you've done New York so many times, and you said the moms just go out and get wasted.
Yes.
Do you guys have a favorite spot that you guys go to?
Not this last time, but the time before. There was actually this cute bar. I couldn't even tell you what the name of it is called, but they have these frozen rosé drinks that were so good.
Ooh.
It's kind of like Hell's Kitchen area.
Oh.
Yeah.
You can get up and dance on the bar.
You probably could have.
Because there's that piano bar that Tina was telling us about that I would really like to go see sometime. So I just wonder if you guys know about these cool bars or places there.
We eat a lot of pizza. There's Ray's Pizza like right two doors down from us, and it's open till like 4 o'clock in the morning. So when the girls are done at like midnight or one and they're hungry, we all go to Ray's Pizza.
So do you guys try to see bits of the city with the girls at all in their free time, or are they so busy you don't even get a chance to?
It depends. If they are an outstanding dancer for nationals, they don't have a lot of time. So 1 year she did that. We didn't get to see a lot. This past year she didn't want to do it, so she had more time. We did take them down to Coney Island, which I don't recommend to anybody.
Oh, it's not very fun?
No.
Oh, why?
The girls rode like one ride and then they were like, we're done. Part of it was closed. I don't know. It just wasn't.
Was it trashy? I heard it was trashy.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
It just didn't have like a amusement park, cute little vibe. It was trashy. The brewery next door to it was good.
Amen, sister. But stop the amusement first. Park
was not. Then do the rides.
And I made them go to the Titanic exhibit with me because I wanted to stop and see.
Was that cool? Because you did one over in Ireland that you said was incredible. There, Tyler, you did it.
Oh, I'm sure that one is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I would love to go to that one. This one was cool. I enjoyed it. The girls felt like it was being in school, so they weren't super thrilled, but they did it.
You're like, but that's where Jack was at.
Right?
And that's where Rose jumped back on the ship.
What are you talking about?
You never seen Titanic? Jeez, you're such a boy guy.
How long have you been non-driving for? How long have you been with the company? So
almost 9 years. 9 years.
This is your anniversary should be coming up.
In March.
Yeah.
Big raise.
My whole $1.50. Yes. So excited about it.
9 years to travel. Do you have like a really bad experience?
I don't even remember where we were coming back from. I think we were coming back from Atlanta from a dance competition, and I had bought a ticket home because I just needed to be back and I didn't want to deal with non-revving. So I was on a paid ticket. We went through Dallas. My flight from Dallas home was canceled, and they didn't cancel it till like midnight. Ooh. There was 4 agents at the desk not helping anybody. So everybody is just kind of sitting around in the gate area trying to figure out what to do on their own. I went on my app and rebooked myself immediately because I'm no dummy and I'm not going to wait to talk to somebody. But all the people around me had no idea what to do. So I had to help everyone sitting next to me, like, get on their app and try and rebook. And then
did you submit your time later?
Am I getting paid for this? Let me put my badge on. Let me jump behind this computer. And then we had nowhere else to go. I wasn't going to go get a room for 3 hours because our flight was at 5 a.m. Our seats were crap. So we had to stay in the Dallas airport. And then my flight in the morning was delayed because there wasn't a
flight attendant.
No, not a flight. It's a life preserver under one of the seats. I was like,
you know what? That's true.
We are not flying over any water from Dallas to Phoenix. I think we'll be okay to go this one time without a life preserver. But no.
I bet if they looked, there was two life preservers under somebody's, two life vests under somebody, one seat.
Yeah, I don't think but anybody who was would looking be the into one looking? It.
See, not the flight attendants.
Maintenance, yeah. I've looked. When I find them on the floor, I've put them on. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Laura would do it. Of course. This is like 99.9% of the flight attendants would not be looking.
So that was no sleep.
And you would have been like, I bought a ticket. I shouldn't have to worry. This should be a smooth trip.
So I submitted to customer relations and they gave me compensation. I was like, listen, this is my third flight. Yeah.
Hey, let me ask you something. So if you were in Dallas and something like that happened, could you, with your sign in, jump behind the computer and sign in and help?
I've been told if you have your badge and you talk to them and that station okays it, then yes.
So your sign-in will work in other stations?
Yeah, it's just a sign-in to quick.
Okay. Mm-hmm. No. Because like when we have issues in other stations, you know, we'll try to help, like but we can't get in the computer. I can pass out those little pieces of paper that say, sorry, you've been delayed.
Well, it's like the one time you did the Richmond was it Miami?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
In your tube top because you didn't have a uniform, but they let you work it?
And the pilot was like, you look good. You're fine.
You're fine, sweetie.
She was not in a tube top.
You're right. I would do that. I would work it.
I mean, she rolled it up a little bit, but it wasn't. All right. So if you're traveling with your family and there's only one business seat open, who gets it?
Me.
That's it.
Oh, I really thought she was going to say her daughter.
No.
Her bougie daughter.
Mm-mm. And I'm going to send you a picture from the back, too, of my cocktail. And I hope y'all are enjoying that middle seat back.
She's just going to be rubbing it in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like your daughter is just a mini you.
She really is.
Like, so yeah, so I could see her being not happy in the back.
There was some meme go around. It was like, our mom got upgraded and she had a picture back and she's like, hey, poor people or something.
I've said that to my kids and they were like, yeah, that's something you would do. Definitely.
What would you do?
My gut would be I would give it to Tawny.
You're
but
so
then
nice.
She would want to give it to one of the kids. And then I wouldn't be okay with that. I'd be like, no.
It's either you or...
I gave it to you. But I know that she'd be like, but the kids won't need this experience.
No, these spoiled kids don't need anything more.
You know what Lober would do?
Well, who?
You, Laura.
Yeah.
You would say, Dave, you get it. He would say, no, you get it. Then neither would take it.
That's what happened to us in Dublin.
Yeah. They both try to decline it. And the agent would be like, nope, you have to sit here.
Yeah, and she had one open seat, and I tried to give it to Dave, and he tried to give it to me, and so we ended up both of us back. And
what? No, I would have taken that. But like, fine, if you insist.
Well, they're newlyweds, right? Well,
but
it's so cute.
That's one that cute Jessica, for our listener in Ireland, in Dublin, came on the plane and found me sitting by door 3. We had nice seats.
But exit row, right?
Yeah, it was exit row.
Uh-huh. Katie would get it for mine, my wife.
She would get it.
Yeah, even though I'd be like, hey.
I you need always it. Get it. Do you remember that's what you always say? Yeah. I need it.
I need it more than her. I do.
So rude.
All right, so I'm curious. If someone gave you $50,000 and said it has to be for a trip, where would you go and who would you take?
I would probably just do like all of Europe. I would start in one place and stay as long as I wanted until I was done and then just continue on until I was out of money and out of time. I'd probably take my family.
Would you guys backpack?
No. No.
Would you be bougie?
Yes.
Yes.
So you'd last 3 days in Paris and you'd be done.
That's my girl.
Yeah. I definitely would not backpack at all. I'm not doing hostels. I'm not. No, thank you.
Well, that's what the question that you put on there is. It says $50.
I'm like, I know, it's like $50.
Oh, sorry.
I didn't say $50.
I was trying to, meant to put a K, so $50,000.
You can't even put because
I started out at $15,000, and then I was like, $15,000's not going to go that far, honestly, either. So I wanted this to be like a big, big trip.
It's so funny because you said $50. I'm like, what?
I was like, wow, that's a
on our script.
So you were like, good luck. That's what she's like. We will go to Chandler.
San Diego, maybe.
See, for our listeners, we do have a script that we follow somewhat loosely.
Yeah.
Little bullet points.
But it's a quick question because I just came into a bunch of points.
I have some miles.
I was hoping you were going to say money. I thought
you were going to say money too. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. No. Where? When's mine coming in?
But so when people have points, or kind of like the money, they kind of do two routes. One is they do like one big trip, right? And it's like first class, or I could do a whole bunch of little trips. So it's kind of that same thing. You would do a big trip.
I would do a big trip.
And I think I'm so cheap, I would do little stuff. And maybe that's not the best thing, but it's like, if I can get all my hotels covered for an entire year of traveling, that seems to make more sense with me than 1 week in a resort that's going to burn through all my points.
Yeah, I could see kind of both ways.
So what would you do?
I would probably do a big trip, because I would, my idea would be, when else am I going to have the chance to do something like this?
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I can figure out the money to do hotels here and there, but when am I going to have, you know, 50,000 to do like an extravagant big old trip?
Yeah. So. What about you?
Well, and this is funny because
you go big like every 3 months. So I don't know what you're talking about.
No, I would do it, you know, group tours, but not the fancy ones, just the regular. Because the group tours I do are for teachers. So, I mean, they're not bougie. Poor
but,
teachers.
But they're wild. They even like Canadians in there.
Yeah, those two Canadians.
Sorry.
Sorry. But we were talking the other day and I thought, you know, it'd be kind of fun if we won the lottery, because I would like to book a cruise and have all my friends on it. If I win the lottery, that's what I would do.
Like a whole cruise? Like a whole boat? You just
Or
at least like a chartered cruise?
Or at least 50 rooms, like, and give you guys a room, and you get a room, and you get a room. And
you'd be like Oprah.
Yeah.
When you get, cover my sitters for my kids.
Would I get a balcony?
I would, okay, yes.
No, she's only going if she gets a balcony.
Well, of course you guys would. I thought it would be fun.
Two interior rooms out of the whole.
Wouldn't that be fun to do?
I would not end up there.
Well, I was thinking of doing it out of LA, but yeah, you could non-rev there.
There's a lot of options on Staff Traveler. We'll get you there.
I can get there.
Yeah, I would book it on. I would book the cruise itself on Staff Traveler.
Smart.
Yeah.
Chartered cruise.
But wouldn't that be fun?
That would be awesome.
I really wish I could win. I guess you have to play, though.
I used to dream like that when I was like 13.
Oh, thank you.
Having so much money, I could just travel the world.
Well, so our friend Gloria once asked me, she was like, if you had like $10 million, like, would you be happy? And I was like, girl, I need like $100 million to be happy. Like,
10 is not enough.
Yeah, it's like 10, I would burn through that sucker so fast.
Did you hear what United's doing with their boarding process? I wanted to ask, having gate agents in flight, then it's...
I heard about that.
So I heard it was different, but I'm not familiar with what exactly.
What I believe I read is the first four groups are their priority groups are the same. Like they'll get a board, but then they're going to start boarding windows, middles, aisles. So do you think that would be, or what do you think that, just like hearing that, knowing how you guys board planes,
I feel like it's not going to make that much of a difference.
They were saying it could save 2 minutes. That was their guess. But really? 2 minutes was enough to, give them two more minutes.
I'm intrigued by it because in a gate agent's world, like 2 minutes is a lot of time. Trying to board a flight.
That's helpful.
Yeah, 2 minutes is a lot of time. But the thing is, you're going to have families. Mm-hmm. And also, if you have people that are connecting and they don't show up, let's say your windows are connecting.
You're what not about aisle chairs? Aisle chairs, you don't have an aisle chair.
Yeah, you're not guaranteed that they're going to show up right at the start of boarding to be there in that group. So
is it the same now, though?
Yeah. I mean, so that's what I was like. I don't see it making any difference.
Yeah.
It's interesting this would come up because just like 2 weeks ago on Flying Smarter podcast.
Yeah, he talked
to our friend. He does a whole episode on boarding. And you know, one time when I was subbing over at the high school, I actually showed a video to students that, they had a video Southwest boarding versus, at that time we were America West, they're boarding, and they actually made a video about it and they compared the two and who was, you know, which one's better.
I hate Southwest's boarding process.
They hate it too.
From a passenger or if you're trying to work it?
From a passenger.
Yeah.
I hate everything about it. The no seat assignments, the way their groups are, the way that they line you up to board. It's awful.
But they get the best TikToks though because of that. Have you seen those TikToks? No. They're so funny.
I haven't seen me. I'll have to look them. But
if you have kids, it's good because you get aboard pretty early. So you can, with kids, I've noticed. But yeah, what I'm doing with myself, especially as non-rounds, because we're going to be the last people getting on. But it also boards really fast because people just get on, get their seats. And because they have the free check bags in Southwest, a lot of people just check their bags. They're just going to check in anyway. So there's not as many bags to go up top. So right. They hardly ever run out of space.
See, and I think that's the bigger piece than like no assigned seats.
You're right.
It's the bags. It's when people take time to try to like put stuff up in their bags and then they're sitting down and then they want to get back up and get something out of their bags. And now they're blocking the aisleway as well. Like, and then you run out of space with bins. So I don't think it's necessarily seat assignments. I'd be curious to actually see more data on that and hear how it's going for them.
Well, and when I worked that position that where you're supposed to be mid cabin, you know, helping people with their luggage so that you're there to make sure their luggage gets in quick and they sit down. So this one guy got out again to go back. Oh, I need my, and I go, can I help you? And he goes, well, I need my headphones. And so he's standing there, he's blocking. And so I go, can you just step in a little bit and then we can continue boarding? And he just acts like he doesn't hear me. So then of course I have to put my hand out and I start pushing him. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. In a gentle, nice way. Yeah. Just a little bit. And he's like, oh, don't touch me. And I go, well, if you would just take a step in. And
I then need he you stepped to move, in. Please.
Oh, don't touch me. Yeah. I'm going to hurt you. Mm-mm.
Sometimes you just have to be mean, like get out of the way.
Yeah. That's okay. I have a special cup for him.
That's it. Actually, I was pretty proud. There was a young flight attendant the other day who it was time to close the door and someone stood up and she pointed her finger and she said, sit down.
Oh, nice.
Like it was a very nice line. I was like, yeah, girl, tell him.
You have to. They don't listen.
Situational awareness.
But
they don't listen.
Yeah, I think if we didn't have as many bags, people would sit down a lot quicker.
In our a lot of our new bins, they have the on this. You put the bags on the side and stand up. What do they call those bins? They're like space saver bins.
Space saver bins.
Yeah.
Does it drive you crazy watching people not do it right? Like,
yeah.
And I sit there watching people, and I was like, I can't say anything because non-rev. I'm not going to be like, hey, do it right. But
that's when sometimes I get snarky, and I go, if you could just like put it on its side, then they look at me like, what do you mean on the side? I go like kind of like the picture in the back of the bin. There's see that picture?
And how everyone else is doing it. But I was watching on a flight recently, and it was like a quarter of the people weren't doing it right.
See, like, how is that really? And I think that's crew management, like cabin management. I feel like that's on
that's the my job when I'm in the middle of the airplane.
Yeah, just even to make announcements. And also, too, if there's one bag turned the correct way, I feel like people follow suit for the most part.
You're right.
It's when like your elite members, they get on and they put them flat like a pancake, which you're not supposed to be like a bookshelf.
Because they don't look at pictures.
I think you're giving people too much credit.
Oh, okay.
You think if they make announcements, we're going to listen to them?
I think they do. Mm. Okay. They don't actually listen to us either, so maybe not.
They don't listen to us. Maybe they listen to you guys on the plane more.
We do make that announcement, though.
Yeah. I think sometimes
they also put their coats and their purses and their backpacks up there. And I want to go down and rip them all out and be like, that goes under your seat. That goes under your seat. Get it out of here.
Yeah. I can't wait till like my last week before I retire.
Oh, I'm going to be so mean.
Right down the plane. So mean. Coats out of overhead bins.
It'll be interesting to see with United doing that, if we follow suit or not, or if they,
we tend to follow suit.
Yeah. But maybe it'll help getting people into the windows. But the other little factors like families and could be interesting. So
well, I'm glad we didn't follow suit with the Delta's lounge changes, because that's what made us number one on the points guy. The points guy, we got number one for our program.
Okay. I mean, I think we kind of did by raising the price, and it eliminated like a bunch of people that were like, well, I'm not paying that. Plus, I'm not paying extra for my authorized users now. Whereas before, we could have like, what, 10?
Yeah.
And now they have
to pay. It's a big flight attendant thing. I'm sure it's a big airline employee thing.
Yeah.
But then at the last minute, you know, Delta made those changes. And then they made changes to their program, too. And so now our airline won an area on the points guy that we've never won before.
Oh.
Because of Delta changing that.
A few weeks ago, the X-Road podcast talked about Lara and her handcuffs.
They talked about, they didn't know flight attendants had them.
Yeah, they didn't know they had them. So that was kind of interesting. Because also, we talked about the Alaska pilot. I think that's why it came up.
Yeah.
And there was the Delta pilot that had his issue. heard about that one.
Yeah, I didn't hear about it until I listened to the Exit Row podcast.
He pulled a gun out. He offered. He said he was going to.
I didn't know he had a gun. I heard that he just told the captain he'd shoot him.
Okay.
What?
You didn't hear that?
No.
Yeah, he like, from my understanding, he didn't want to take a trip. So he told the captain that he would shoot him.
But they were going to divert. He said, if you divert.
I'm going to shoot you.
Yeah, for a medical reason. It's pretty crazy.
It's the FO.
That's going to change their rules.
It never got public like the Alaska one because of whatever reason. It happened a couple of years ago, but he just got charged in court in Utah. So that's why it kind of hit the news like, oh, this happened.
Yeah, I don't remember hearing anything about that.
But on that podcast, they ask, talking about guns for pilots because they can't have them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And they asked about flight attendants and I started laughing. Can you imagine flight attendants having guns in flight?
Blair has this cute little tiny pistol.
I do have a cute tiny 38 special.
That'd be pink. That would be so dangerous with as crusty as some of the flight attendants are.
Oh, yeah. Well, I remember like when they first started allowing the pilots, they had to go through that special training. It was in Albuquerque. So they had to go through special training to have guns. Don't you remember the first officer was they have to take off their gun to come out to use the lavatory. Oh. So, and they don't take it off until it's time to go. And so the flight attendant was in the flight deck. So it was the two pilots and the flight attendant, and the one pilot was taking his gun off. And when he was trying to put it back in the box, it actually shot. Yeah, it went out and it went through the skin of the flight deck. Do you remember that happening?
No.
It was in the beginning when they were allowed to. We're like, oh yeah, that's gonna change that rule, but it didn't. But it went off and it actually went through, and they had to land, and it was like this big thing.
Oh my gosh!
So did they ever ask you, like, when you went up to be with Pete, did the first officer like, here, hold this for me?
No, but I've watched him put away the guns before, and every time they mess around with him, I do hold my breath because I'm like, oh my god,
wow.
Crazy.
Yeah, that would be a little nerve-wracking that high up in the air.
Yeah, and you're watching them.
Yeah, and you're like, please don't go off. Please don't.
Yeah.
With all the TSA and the fact they can lock the doors, I don't understand why they need any of them up there. Don't they have marshals on the plane sometimes too? Like,
man, I haven't had a marshal in years. I probably shouldn't say that out loud, but
that you know about, or that you know
that I know about.
Well, you just do London. Do they go to like your like long haul like that?
Yeah. Well, on September 11th, we had quite a few.
Okay.
They walked off.
Am I allowed to say that?
You could if you need to. But they didn't actually take it on the 11th.
Remember that? They all got off. They all got on. And then there was more than three.
Oh,
there were six.
There were three that checked in.
Three
up front
and three in the back.
September 11th this year?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh. Because it was frustrating because they bumped out a couple that were next to each other in premium. And we like couldn't really explain why.
Right.
They weren't be able to sit by each other. And then when we got them back together, we're like, good news.
The marshals got off.
We're like, that was my fight. We were working together.
Yeah.
Did they say why they got off? Mm-mm. They just boarded and then deplaned?
Yeah. And it also feels weird because they cut us, but they can board before cruise on. And it feels very wrong because we're like.
Minimum crew.
We're like, we need minimum crew for you to go down. But yeah, they went down, they did their little checks and then. They got right back off.
That's so weird.
And all they said is they were supposed to go somewhere else or something like that. So we were like, okay. We got an honor of, I think, a business. So I was like, woohoo, that's great.
When we have them going to London, they ride the crew bus with us. And we always stop in ops so that the purser can drop off the gen deck and some other cargo information, stuff like that. And they'll get off with the purser and they'll check their firearms there. In ops, and then they'll get back on the bus with us
because they can't have them off the airport.
Correct.
Okay.
They can't have them in London, and then when they sometimes they come back with us, and so we'll see them when they get back on. It's just kind of funny.
Are they a good time on the trip, or do they go to their own thing?
They go to their own place. Yeah, yeah. I've bumped into them before in San Francisco when I've carried him into San Francisco, and then we'll bump into him at the restaurant or something. I'll say, hey, where's your firearm? He'll be like, it's in a hotel site.
You're like, well, you're packing.
Yeah, that's what I say. Where are you packing?
She looks down.
All right. Well, I hope everyone has a nice Thanksgiving. Do you have any more questions or anything?
Was there any other tips or anything else you wanted to share?
I mean, I don't want to give away all my secrets so that my first class seats aren't available anymore.
I love that.
I don't have any secrets. I never get it.
So. Well, yeah, that too.
So once your daughter graduates, because this is coming up, and mm-hmm. is your son older or younger?
Older.
So your kids are going to be...
I will have
is no your kids. Travel going to change?
I hope so. Okay. I hope that it frees up a little bit more of my time to be able to...
More girls' trips.
Yeah.
So you're almost doing back-to-back girls' trips, so I mean, I think you're doing it right.
I know. My husband's not super thrilled. He's like, you're going where?
Oh.
I'm like, you don't like France. Don't worry about it.
Well, cool. Well, thanks for joining us again.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Valerie.
Yeah, it's been really fun to have you.
Thanks.
And if you guys want to send us a, drop us a line, let us know what's going on. It's nonrevloungepodcast@gmail.com. And everybody stay safe.
Bye.
This has been Non-Rev Lounge. This episode was sponsored by Staff Traveler, which is the number one app to get your non-rev loads. It is used by over 600,000 people from all airlines in the world and built to make your non-rev trips easy and stress-free. Sign up now for free at stafftraveler.com/non-rev lounge.
This woman had a coat with a lot of fur on the hood the other day, and I was just about to ask, I was like, do we have an animal with us? And then I realized it was her coat. And I was glad I didn't make a fool of myself.
I went down into the
777.
The 777 where they're
aviation.
Anyway, he told me when we were going, he goes, get out of here. I'm going to look up your skirt as you walk up. But I'm like, well, that seems fair.
Okay.
Seems fair.
I always pack extra underwear and socks. Oh. If I'm going for 3 days, I pack like 10 pairs of underwear and 10 pairs of socks. I don't know why. I've never gone through the extras, but I am terrified of running out of underwear and socks.
Do you pee your pants a lot?
No.
Okay.
I don't know.
No, I think I'm the same way as well. Well, because here's the thing, too, is I always think I'm going to go swimming. So I'm, and me too, like if I go swimming, put on a swimming suit, I don't want to put on my old chonies anymore.
Oh, yeah, no, you need new
ones. So that's what I'm always like. Yeah, even in my mind, I'm always like, if I go swimming, like,
yeah.
Apparently I'm swimming every day in my mind on vacation or on trips, right. Then I'm going to need, okay, at least 2 pairs of chonies each day.